The time now, 9:06. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual spot at the control panel. Start things off talking girls basketball, and you closed out the regular Clamden Conference for before Christmas last night, and talking now with Dylan Erickson, and another tough one for you there, Dylan.
Yeah, sure was. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. It was last night was a tough one. Yeah, we made it once all the way through the north half of the conference and got one little taste of the south half here last night at Lacaparo. And yeah, it was a team I thought we matched up pretty well with. They have a lot of youth and kids in new spots, and we got a lot of kids in new spots. And I knew it was going to be a tough game, and it would be a pretty competitive game. And leading up, I thought we had a nice week of practice. You know, again, our weird schedule went three games a game, just kind of a weird schedule to start with all that practice time stuck in between, and then a busy week of games the following week. But I thought we had a nice lead up to the week, or to the end of the week here, to, you know, get into Christmas break on a really high note here. But again, last night, boy, we just struggled to find some offense in any kind of way, shape, or form. It took us, first 5-6 minutes even to score a bucket, and our first five scores were all free throws from the free throw line. We actually didn't score our first two for the first 14 minutes of the game. So Do the math there, it's about 4 minutes left in the half when you're scoring your first deuce. And that's just not, no matter who you're playing, that's, we had so many easy looks early in the game to start the game. You know, we missed 5-6 layups to start the game, and I missed a bunch of free throws too, and didn't execute. That's been kind of our word too, is being able to execute and then controlling what we can control, which is valuing the basketball at a much higher level than we have been. Playing with a little more effort throughout the entirety of the game, not just bits and pieces, spots. And we look good for a few minutes here, the first 5 minutes here, or a couple minutes there, and then we kind of revert back and ease up and let things come at us, let people attack us without bringing the attack to them. And that's what I feel like is really hindering us right now, especially scoring the basketball, is we're being too passive at times, and then that's translating into us finishing and executing at the rim. And we need to do a better job of bringing that attack to them at all times, and believing in ourselves a little better that we are capable of being a much better team than we are. And when our girls are in these certain situations and spots, that they can execute and they can perform at a high level. At these, now stop second guessing ourselves, and now we're catching the basketball and we're thinking about things before we just react and make plays. And I think that's really what's been killing us lately, especially against a team like YME, who didn't bring a ton of pressure to us. They sat in a zone. We haven't seen a ton of zone yet this year, and some of these girls from the B squad up, from last year, you hardly ever see some zone maybe. So again, seeing a fairly good zone, or especially like a 3-2 zone, a odd front zone, is a little bit different. And girls haven't really seen that up to this point. But again, that's varsity basketball. Teams are going to throw stuff at you, and you're going to have to be able to react to it on the fly more than being totally prepared for things. And that first half really slowed us down. It was 3-6. We got a couple free throws. Then it was 5-12, and then finally, with 4 minutes left to go in the half, we hit a bucket to get to 7, and then we hit a 3 right before half that I thought was going to maybe carry us into half and give us a little bit of a boost going into half, which I think it did. So we go into half down 22-10. Again, things they did offensively came on second, third chance rebounds, really, or leak outs after a few turnovers. Again, it wasn't us just completely olaying them to the rim. It was kind of our own doing, our own mistakes that keep on hindering us throughout a night. And so again, we go into half, we kind of do something uncharacteristic, went in actually the North Gym, which is kind of nice to have the facility right there for us, and went in there and talked about exactly what they were doing. We ran through some of that stuff, and boy, when it came out of half, we went on a nice little run, and that first 5 minutes was pretty dang good. we got it back within 5-6 points there, and we were on a little tear there. Hit a three ball at a half, and moved the basketball pretty nice, and got a lot of shots at the rim, and made a few of them, and cut into their lead, and forced them to take a timeout, and you know, we were feeling pretty good at that moment, thinking if we just keep this up, you know, defensively we're doing a much better job of rebounding at a higher rate. I thought we were gonna cut back into this again, go another little 5-0 run, and if we tied it up, I thought we had a really nice chance in there for the second half of the half there, but. Then after that timeout, the next couple minutes, we kind of reverted back to easing up and, you know, letting them bring the attack back to us. And then that's when we started turning the ball over a little bit and getting weak with it and, you know, some more cross-court passes and dribbling ourselves into bad spots, which we hadn't been doing for the majority of the game, honestly. But then those started leading to some turnovers and some leak outs for them and some more easy baskets. And they kind of crept that lead back up into, you know, that 8 to 10 range. And after it got back to 10, we just never really could get our footing again to go on a nice run and kind of break into it. Every time we'd maybe get a stop and a score, they'd come back and get two scores, and we'd have to fight back and get a couple more scores ourselves. So again, just a tough night for us. Again, from the offensive side of things, again, defensively, it seemed like when we started turning the ball over, running back in transition, and we're wearing ourselves out, and that's when our offense just slowed down quite a bit. But again, I thought we did a better job defensively as a whole, you know, securing the rebound and getting out and running in the second half, you know, to kind of put some more pressure on them. But again, come away with, you know, we scored 24 points in that second half. So again, much more aggressive, and made it. We played right with them in the second half. They outscored us 25-24 in the second half, and I ended up coming away with a 47-34 loss on the year. So again, I know that was a tough one for us to go in at the end of the game and have a chat after the game. But it's a lot of things that, you know, we can control and we can fix, and it's not easy fix, I'd say, but they're definitely very attainable and very fixable, because personally, if we just take it upon ourselves and believe in ourselves and start putting ourselves in better spots and being more aggressive and bringing the attack to the other team, the person across from them, I think we're going to see a lot different outcome. But again, that's just going to come with more experience and time here as we keep going. But again, last night was a really tough one for us. It would have been nice to have that one going into break, but yeah, that's the way it falls, and that's basketball, so that's just where we're at.
Stats on the night.
Yeah, I can run through some stats. So Jalen Lee led us in scoring last night. Again, she shot a bunch of free throws. Shot 12 free throws for us, so very aggressive, especially in that second half. But again, her win just wasn't underneath her. She'd been out all week with influenza, and she got it out a pretty good performance last night after, you know, not really having much practice time and getting her legs back and lungs back and just, you know, a little bit weaker throughout her body, you know, so finishing some of those things were a little bit tougher for her last night. But again, I thought she gutted it out and had a nice performance for us, you know, and carried us, especially in that stretch when we get on that run in the second half. I thought she did a nice job leading us that way. She had 16 points last night, 5 rebounds, an assist, and a couple blocks. Like I said, Callie Kahn been dominating the glass for us and being really aggressive on that end. You know, I had her out guarding their best guard last night. I thought she did a really nice job on her matchup. She had 8 points and 11 rebounds and a steal. Again, I know she'd tell you she got herself to the free throw line a bunch last night. Would have liked to execute a few more of those last night, same as at the rim, and that's going to keep coming with she keeps gaining more experience as a sophomore, you know, against some of this higher level and the speed of the game too, and she started finishing at this level or at that level. That's going to change a lot. That 8 points is going to be 16 pretty easy for her. Kayla Jan did a nice job again defensively and controlling the game and trying to get us into some of our sets and getting that offense moving, especially early in that second half. And I thought she did a nice job out of the zone or in their zone, being able to find the nooks and crannies to try to wither her way to the rim a little bit. And she had 7 points and 11 rebounds and 3 steals and an assist. Zoe Doctor came in the first half and, you know, just only gets 3 halves. She played the first half for us last night, and I thought the minutes she gave were really valuable, and she did a really, really nice job. Proud of her effort and how she handled herself out there. And she had a free throw on a rebound and a few steals there, being pretty active. Kendall Shelstead had an assist and a rebound and a steal and a block. And she's coming back off a neck head injury too, and so working her back slowly a little bit too, trying to get her legs back and, you know, just the flow of the game. So she got it out a pretty good performance last night too. Claire Borstead had a couple steals, 4 rebounds, assist. And then Kaya Kranz had a free throw for us and a few rebounds. So that kind of rounds out our individual stats for tonight. But, you know, shooting shooting 1 of 18 from 2 in the first half, Dick, is just going to hinder you no matter who you're playing. Right. And 1 of 7 from 3, I mean, that's just, well, they're staggering numbers. That doesn't matter who you're playing. That's just not acceptable, honestly. And, you know, just our percentage for the whole year, shooting, you know, that 20 to 23%. And, you know, we shot 25 free throws last night, but we didn't even make half of them. You know, you make another 30% of those, that changes the game dramatically, especially early in the game. So just a lot of things that, you know, we can control. We can control all those things between the 25 turnovers and shooting 20% from basically layups and making our free throws when we get there. We got to reward ourselves that way when we're making plays like that.
Yeah, that's right. B-squad on the night?
B-squad, again, it was I thought we matched up well with them. They had some youth, and so do we, and some, you know, inexperience there. And I thought we did a nice job throughout that, you know, three quarters of the game, really. And then all of a sudden, I went in the locker room to chat with the varsity, and it was a three-point game, and I come back out, and Wyoming kind of blew in the lead to double, and it kind of put us away at that point. But again, seen a lot of nice things. You know, they sat in the zone, too, and, you know, I know half those girls are probably at least on the court at a time, because we had some eighth graders out there playing with numbers. We had a couple, one injured and one sick, so we had some eighth graders out there. And I know the eighth graders, you know, they've never seen a zone. So then now trying to throw them into that level of basketball was something they've never really seen. I was pretty impressed at how they handled themselves and just played basketball and gave us good effort. So that was a tough loss right there last night, but I thought, you know, we're seeing a lot of nice things defensively. I know Sherwood would like the effort to be a little bit better and rebounding once we do get a stop. But, again, that's going to keep coming with experience. And then the junior high will travel to Duel on Thursday, and seventh grade lost on a buzzer beater. So I know that was Thomas was telling me about that before the game, fun game. And you know, for a seventh grader to be a part of a buzzer beater, you know, where situations are coming from behind, and you know, that's just so valuable as you go forward and you know, learning and maturing in those situations. And then the eighth grade came away with a 10-12 point win there too. So okay. They both got a nice win for them on the week. So
okay. Well,
and then just one more call out. We're going to get hopefully Belle rolling with surgery again for the third time. She's been through quite the battle here. So she'll be going back in next Wednesday, trying to get some more cleanup done and figure that out. Hopefully that can take away some pain, and maybe she can be back on the right road to recovery, back again, and get after it again and see what happens, you know, as we get to turn the calendar here and get to the second half of the season.
Okay.
So I just want to wish her the best of luck, too, going forward over Christmas here, and hopefully all things go well at the battle she's had and the you know, she's had a great mindset, and she's such a tough kid that I can't commend her enough for, you know, this positive as she stayed and, you know, keeps working every day when I know it's not easy. So.
Right, right. Well, I looked at the schedule for over Christmas, and there was nothing there, but just talking to you before we went on, you have a game on Wednesday that you meet a very, very, very good girls basketball team.
We sure do. Yeah, we see Buffalo Lake Hector, who's going to be ranked in the top 10 this day for sure.
Okay.
And they have been all year. They pre-ranked. They were top 5. I think they lost a couple. Maybe they'd like to have back. We got still a top 10 team. And they got a couple twin sister guards that are really, really good. And we're going to have our hands full with them to try to slow those guys down, whether it's in transition on that bigger court for us that doesn't really, you know, right now play into our strength by any means. But, again, it's also nice just to get down there and get that experience and get that game down there. So in the future when you're playing really meaningful basketball down there, you've got a little bit of experience, you've seen the court, you felt it, you've ran that extra, you know, you just got a little more comfortable with it. So it's always nice to get a game down there in that Borges Classic for us, you know, to gain some experience that way. But again, we're going to play whoever's in front of us, Dick, and whatever happens, we're going to control what we can and try to get better every week, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and that is what day and time and location?
Yeah, so we will travel to Marshall and play at the college there at SMSU, the RA facility, nice facility there. Play there, Buffalo Lake Hector on Wednesday.
Okay.
And we got the 6:30 tip, so kind of prime time there for us.
Wednesday at 6:30 at the college.
Yep, and if you're a basketball fan, there'll be basketball there all day for a couple of days, Wednesday and Thursday. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck. We'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, and have a good Merry Christmas, and we'll hope for better things after the New Year's.
You bet. Thanks, guys, for covering us. Thanks, Eagle fans out there, for supporting us and coming to our games and whatnot. So everyone have a Merry Christmas out there, and we'll see you on the next side of the calendar.
Okay. Dylan Erickson on girls basketball. We'll take this break and be talking with Hank Ireland on wrestling after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, award-winning Redhead cheese, 10% off. Lutefisk oysters and herring available for the holidays. Merry Christmas from Kip and the gang at the Country Butcher. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
St. Isidore the Farmer Catholic Area Faith Community is having weekend masses December 23rd and 24th, the same as always in December. Christmas Mass schedule, Christmas Eve, Sunday, December 24th, 4 p.m. Mass at Sacred Heart in Murdoch, 6 p.m. Mass at St. John in Appleton, and Christmas Day, 8:30 a.m. Mass at St. Francis in Benson, 10:30 a.m. Mass at St. John in Appleton. Grace Lutheran Church in Corral is having a worship service on Saturday, December 23rd, 9:30 a.m. That'll be followed by a Christmas party sponsored by Thrivent. Everyone is welcome. St. John's Lutheran in Madison will be having a children's Christmas Eve program and hymn sing on Sunday, December 24th. That'll be at 5 p.m. That'll be recorded and broadcast at 7 o'clock that evening here on Q92.
Merry Christmas, everyone, from Rick Stoltz and the staff at the law office of Swenson, Nelson & Stoltz in Madison, Minnesota. It doesn't take a crystal ball to tell what's ahead. Holiday sights and sounds are all around us, giving that special feeling that only comes at Christmas. At the office of Swenson, Nelson & Stoltz, attorneys in Madison, they hope yours will be a Merry Christmas, celebrated in peace everywhere.
Gary Harding at Southwest Insurance Services and Grinnell Mutual look forward to a season of cheer. We wish you a very happy holiday season and the joy of spending time with family and friends. Our gift for you is the opportunity to serve you both now and in the future. Celebrate this holiday season and trust in tomorrow. Contact Gary Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at Southwest Insurance Services at 507-223-7248 today for all your insurance needs. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. Turn our attention now to wrestling. And gosh, right before Christmas here, you had quite a busy week. Here last Saturday morning, we talked about what happened on Friday night at in Redwood Falls at the River Riot. And then it was a two-day tournament, so we'll talk about what happened on Saturday and then talk about the JV dual meet and some of the individuals as well. And then, of course, on Thursday night, a nice triangular with good teams, traditionally Hutchinson and New Ulm, Minnesota, is really coming on. Both teams with a number of young people, so they're going to get better as time goes on, but some great matches there with 11 state-ranked kids on the three teams. So it was a great triangular then. So let's turn the calendar back a week and talk about the River Riot in Redwood Falls, Hank.
Yeah, yeah. Last Saturday we started off with a good lead on the team part of it, going into the semis and the quarters. And Eli Olson, I think he had two pins on Friday, then he ended up getting another pin in the quarters and a pin in the semis to make it to the final. Then he ended up losing in the finals to Noah Gonzalez from Maple River. So Eli got second on the day, and I think he was a little disappointed in himself after that match, because I think he I think he and we know that he can wrestle a little bit better than he showed, but second place is nothing to be upset about in that tournament. It's a big tournament.
No, when you have 36 teams to come out second, that's quite a deal.
Yeah. And then at 121, Tygan Long went 1-2 and did not place, but got some team points for us. Ben Gunlickson, he started off just first period pins. He had four of them just throughout the tournament.
Wow.
All the way through to semis. In the finals, he ended up losing to a Wyatt Nowitzki from Holdingford. So Ben ended up taking second for us. 133, Grayson Olson. He lost his first one, then he had to fight all the way back, and he won four in a row to get into the placing round, and then he ended up losing the seventh place match to a Maple River wrestler, and that was a great tournament for Grayson, considering he didn't get any matches in last year, so he's still kind of figuring out the varsity end of it. It's a little jump going from ninth grade league, not wrestling a year, and then coming back out, so he's really wrestling well. That was a good tournament to place in for Grayson. He got eighth in that Redwood tournament. Then Holland Shocker, he went 2-2 on the day and did not place. Got some team points for us though. Dan Gunlickson, he won the tournament. He got first place. I think that's the fourth United wrestler to ever win this tournament. And he not only won, he dominated everyone. He had four pins on the day, on the weekend. So even in the finals, got a pin over Brady Keeker from Bold. So that was awesome to see Daniel win that tournament after getting second a few times. Cameron Sather was up at 152 for us. He won his first two, then he lost to Austin Keeker, the eventual champion from Bold, and then he came back in the consolations and won a close match, and then won a third place match over a Ricori wrestler. So that was great to see Cam come back and get third. Brian Rohde, he lost his first one, then he won his second one by a pinfall, and then he lost an overtime match in the consolation rounds to be eliminated, but he still scored some team points for us. Mason Peterson lost his first one by a close 5-7 decision, and then he won his next one in overtime, won his next one 7-0, and then lost his last round in the consolations. He did not place, but got some good two wins for us and some more team points. Noah Meyer up at 189, won his first one by a pinfall, and then fell his second two matches to be eliminated, but that pinfall adds up more additional points for us, so that was good for Noah to get a pin to help out the team. Parker Botham is at 215. He won his first two by major decisions, and then lost in the quarterfinals, and then ended up losing the seventh place match in a close match. 6-5 he lost in the seventh place match, so Parker placed eighth, and Parker also got his 60th career win at the Riot, so there's another milestone we got. It seems like each week we keep adding to the milestones, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And then Brady Rohde won his first two matches and then lost in the semifinals, and then came back to get fifth place with a tech fall in the fifth place match. And the team score, I think Marshall, they got first and we got second, and then we lost by maybe 8 points. And we were looking back at the results, and there was probably about 5-6 matches each up and on the lineup that we could have, if we could have just won this match, if we could have just won that match, we could have passed Marshall and been a champ for the team portion of it. But still, the kids were a little bummed, but I told them, like, second place isn't anything to hang your hat on in this tournament. 36 teams, there's 34 teams that would love to be second place, but that's, I don't know, that was kind of good to see that they expected to win and they want to win, but yeah, still second place is nothing to be too upset of in that big tournament. So they wrestled well. And the ninth grade league, they wrestled a dual tournament. They went 1-2 on the day, so they got lots of good matches in over in Redwood. Yeah, and then moving on to Thursday, we had a couple of days of practice over in the wrestling room, and we knew it was going to be two good duels for us with New Ulm and Hutchinson, both teams that are going to be gunning for the section title come end of the year, so we knew we're going to have to show up and give it our best. And yeah, we started off with New Ulm, And Eli Olson started us off with a tech ball, winning 16-1. And then Gavin Mortensen lost a close one, 3-1 over Braden Miller. And then Tygan Long came out and took it to New Orleans' Alex Portner and pinned him in the first period. Ben Gunlickson, Tygan, he's got 10 wins already on the year, and like him and Gavin and Eli are kind of surprising a few people because they didn't get very many varsity matches last year. Eli got the most, but he was a light 106, 113 pounder. We're pushing him up this year. He's a full 107 pounder, and Gavin got a few matches in last year, and Tygan, he was hurt most of the year last year, so these guys are just starting to get the hang of the varsity stuff, and kind of surprising a few people. We know what they're capable of. We see them every day, but not everyone else. They're kind of being a little surprised, like, where did these guys come from? But they work hard in practice, and it's nice to see them develop to continue to become good varsity wrestlers for us. Then we get to a guy that a lot of people know, Ben Gunlickson. He won by a pinfall over Tegan Krall from New Ulm. Then at 133, Grayson Olson lost by a last-second takedown. He lost 3-2, so it was a close match. And Grayson's in that kind of boat, too, of kids that kind of learning how to wrestle on varsity and getting this more mat time with the upper level of the varsity kids. So it'll be good to see him develop throughout the year, too. And then Holland Shocker got us back on track with a pinfall. And then Dan Gunlickson faced a state-ranked Newhouse from New Ulm, and he won a 4-0 decision. Then at 152, Cameron Sather won a close match 5-2. Then at 160, Brian Rohde lost by a pinfall late in the third. At 172, Mason Peterson saved some team points for us and lost 8-2. At 189, Gabe Lowry, he fought hard the whole time. We were bumping him all the way up to 189. So that was good to see him fight, and he lost by a tech fall, so he saved the team point there as well.
Right.
And then at Landon Olson, he got his debut for the year on Thursday night, and he won by a pinfall in the second period. So it was good to see Landon go out there and seal the deal for us. And then at heavyweight, Brady Rohde got a revenge match from last Saturday, and he won a 4-1 decision. So he was pretty excited to get that win over a section opponent.
Yeah, they were ranked second and third in AA, so you saw some good matchups there. The Neon Needles wrestler of the match was Cameron Sather, in the fact that he just picked up some points right at the closing end of the match to beat Logan Lee, who was a very good wrestler. And the Ag Plus cooperative exciting part of the match was Landon Olson when he came out and got that pin. So some great performances in that dual meet.
Yeah, it was. And Cameron just does not quit. You can never count him out. You got to wrestle tough 6 full minutes against him.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the final score was United 38 and New Ulm 20. Then we moved on to Hutchinson, and they're in our half of the section. They're in the north half. So this one was a little bit more important for us for seeding reasons. And Eli Olson started us off and won a 6-2 decision. And then Gavin Mortensen won by a pinfall late in the third. And then Tygan Long came out and got a pinfall for us in the first period. And then Ben Gunlickson, he wrestled a highly state-ranked Logan Schwanz. Is a great match. Ben got a good lead and then ended up losing the lead in the third. And then in overtime, he ended up getting taken down. So that was a tough match for Ben. You know, and I know he wanted to win that, especially when he had the lead, nice little lead there, and lost it. But I'm sure those two will see each other again. And just good fight for Ben. Then Grayson Olson won a 10-8 decision at 133. At 139, Holland Shocker won by a pinfall over state-ranked Max Martin. That was an exciting one. Then at 145, Dan Gunlickson wrestled Braden Pipes, who's ranked in state, and won 6-0. Then at 152, Cameron Sather won by a pinfall. At 160, Brian Rohde won by a pinfall. 172, Gabe Lowry lost by a pinfall. 189, Mason Peterson lost by a tech fall over a tough Luke Hogue. Then at 215, Evan Pierce won by a pinfall over Zach DeBeer. And then Brady Rohde received a forfeit. And the final score was 45 for Team United, 20 for Hutchinson.
And the Neon Needles performer of the match, both Dan and I kind of look at the dual meet and came up with it. I think we finally gave it to Holland Shocker. That was a shocker when he pinned Max Martin, who was state ranked and number nine in the state or number seven in the state. But in the running certainly was Tygan Long too, for the way that he's been wrestling of late, and he'll get his recognition with the T-shirt and the Subway sandwich too. But and then the Ag Plus Cooperative, that match between Ben Gunlingson and Logan Schwantz, number two against number three wrestler, going to into overtime. Both wrestlers had their opponent on their back, and they were able to get out of it, and then tied it up in overtime, as you mentioned, a takedown. But two state-ranked wrestlers will probably meet again in this section, individual,
yep,
possibly the team as well. So.
Yep, I'm sure. That was such a tight match where there were so many points could have been made by both guys.
Right, yeah back match. And forth. And the crowd, Team United had a great crowd, but there was a lot of people there from New Ulm and a lot of people there from Hutch. Some distances to drive there for those teams. So, and the final score of the Hutchinson match then?
45-20.
Okay.
United.
Yeah. So, a very busy week with a couple practices in between, and now you're off for a couple days, but you got some excitement coming up next Thursday and Friday as well.
Yeah, we head up to to Fargo on Wednesday, and then we get ready up there and wrestle Thursday, Friday at the Rumble. So I think there's probably 70 to 80 teams there. It's a big tournament. They fill the Fargo Dome full of wrestling mats.
Wow.
JV varsity, we wrestle them all, so it'll be a lot of wrestling fun Thursday and Friday. Hopefully bring back some medals.
So you're wrestling where the Fighting Sioux play football, huh?
The Bison, or NDSU.
Bison, yeah. So
yeah, that'll be,
fun
for the kids.
How many mats do they get in there?
I think they get 27.
27.
One's raised elevated, so the kids like,
yeah,
when they get a chance to wrestle on that one.
Wow. So we'll hear all about that. Well, we can maybe make a phone call on Saturday morning or Friday night and find out how day one goes. It'll be over by Saturday. So we could call you next Saturday and find out the 2-day results.
Yep, that sounds good.
That sounds great. And also want to wish you and your team and your coaching staff and managers a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you as well.
Yeah, and Q92 and all the coaches for Dawson Boyd and Madison or Lacaparo wish everybody a Merry Christmas as well. So
thanks to you and Dan for covering us too. That was good on Thursday night to have you guys there. I know the kids like seeing you guys there.
Yeah, and we had some parents from Montevideo come up and thanked us as well, as the Montevideo station was not there. So. Okay, well, best of luck, and we'll talk next Saturday morning, Hank.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and have more of the Coach's Show after this.
This is the time of year when we all believe. We believe in joy, like a day of fun at Mall of America. We believe in unforgettable elf experiences at Candy Cane Institute. Wish-filled weekends at Radisson Blue Mall of America, conveniently connected to the mall. Paul Bunyan's ugly sweater in the Yule log shoot at Nickelodeon Universe. And wrapping it all up with a bow at the Holiday Light Show every night. Believe all season long. Start at mallofamerica.com/holiday.
Lean Lumber Company in Boyd and Madison brings you this holiday message. Christmas time is a time to examine all our values and priorities as we realize the tremendous power of love so prevalent during this season. Lean Lumber Company takes this opportunity to wish one and all a very Merry Christmas. Why shovel your sidewalk? Why snowblow your driveway yourself? Get someone else to do it. That someone else is Mike Kack. Mike will do snow removal, and he'll get that snow off your roofs with a roof rake. And he does ice dams. Call Mike at 320-438-0052. That's 320-438-0052. Call Mike today. That number again, 320-438-0052. Let Mike do the shoveling.
Merry Christmas, everyone, from Brian and Wendy at the Lack Parle Farm Bureau Office, located East Highway 40 Madison. The stockings have been hung with care, the cookies baked and frosted, the tree has been trimmed, the presents wrapped, and the only thing left is to wish you the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Year's from your friends at the Lack Parle Farm Bureau Office in Madison.
This is the time of year when we all believe. We believe in joy, like a day of fun at Mall of America. We believe in unforgettable elf experiences at Candy Cane Institute. Wish-filled weekends at Radisson Blue Mall of America, conveniently connected to the mall. Paul Bunyan's ugly sweater in the Yule log shoot at Nickelodeon Universe. And wrapping it all up with a bow at the Holiday Light Show every night. Believe all season long. Start at mallofamerica.com/holiday.
There's an ancient blessing used when the household lamps were lit, which goes, "Praise God who sends us the light of heaven." As Haugen Insurance points out, it is indeed time to praise God and salute His Son in celebration as we enter the Christmas holiday. May your holiday be bright with love. Merry Christmas from Dwayne and Susie and Peter and Haugen Insurance, located in Madison and Ortonville, serving our entire Q92 listening area.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Lac La Parle Valley boys basketball with head coach Robin Rademacher on this Saturday morning. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Paul.
Are you ready for Christmas, brown Christmas?
I love a brown Christmas. Couldn't be happier. I feel bad for all those who rely on the snow, but this year after last year, I'm ready for one of those brown Christmas. And, you know, it's kind of hard to get into that spirit when you look outside and there's probably people golfing.
Right. Yeah, well, they opened up some of the golf courses yesterday in Minneapolis, so let's see.
I can see why. People are taking advantage of this break that we had, and everybody's worried, oh, it's going to come and get us. It's going to come back to haunt us. I said, well, every day that we get is one less, so
right.
I get it.
All right. Well, let's talk Eagle basketball. Kind of a light schedule this past week.
Well, we've had quite a schedule to start the season with some, yes, it's been nice. We were at home, but in turn two, sometimes that can be hard because the kids, you know, they got the fans and parents and grandparents and everybody there watching them, and maybe they put a little more pressure on themselves. But our beginning of our season, we had some very good teams, some very quality teams. And I guess on Tuesday night, we went on the road, not a very far drive, but we went over to Dawson Boyd, and I would say they're probably as good, if not better, than anybody we're going to face all year. They're ranked second in the state, and I can see why.
We had that game on the radio Tuesday, you said, and holy cow, that was quite a game, and what an atmosphere it was there with all the people.
Yeah, it was. It's fun for the kids to get to play in an atmosphere like that. It's kind of like playoff basketball, even though it's only in December, but a lot of people there to watch. I know a lot of things going on, but I told the kids, I said, maybe a lot of them are here to watch you guys play too. And I'm sure a lot of people weren't expecting our kids to compete, but I know what we have and what those kids bring every day. And it was fun for them to go out there, even though the end score maybe doesn't look like we competed. I thought we were right in the game until about the, I don't know, I suppose 5 minutes to go, where they just kind of made some shots and finished off. And we ended up losing the basketball game 79-55, but Like I said earlier, I don't think that was indicative of how the game went.
No, absolutely not. I tell you what, Robin, I know it's a loss, but that first half, the defensive effort from your guys in that first half especially, that was incredible.
I thought the kid really bought in. I thought our help side defense was there. They had the people we were supposed to guard. We were working hard. They left it all in the court. And like I said, we go in the locker room. I think we were down maybe 7 or something in that line. We had a chance to get a little bit closer. We had a shot roll off right at the rim. And a lot of that is due to their length. They are so long, those two guys on their team, that even when you think you have a wide open layup, they come and they alter your shot. So like we said, we went in the locker room knowing that, hey, guys, that's 18 minutes. We can compete. Our goal coming out was just withstand that first blow, those first 4 minutes. Because teams like that, they wanna put you away early and make you start thinking that you can't compete out there. And our kids handled that first 4 minutes. Maybe we were even ahead. I don't remember right offhand. But we were right in that basketball game. Like I said, we come out second half with our ball. We have a nice look, miss. They go down and hit a shot. Then we hit shots back and forth and traded for the most part until, like I said, until you get right down to the end. And they hit some shots. I thought the Liebel kid was played a great game for them. I think he ended up with like 22 points, you know, 8, 10 rebounds, 6, 7 assists and steals. He was the difference maker in the game. We know that Boyk is going to get his. We know that Drew has got the potential to get his, but their role players sure do a nice job. And like I said, but in turn, I was very pleased with the performance that our boys had on the night.
That's right. You know, as you mentioned, you're short a couple of guys that usually play, and the guys off the bench gave you some quality minutes, didn't they?
Well, not only the guys off the bench, but the starting five did a great job. Anybody that was put in the game, they went out there, and we really talked about knowing your role. Know your role. When you go into the game, what do you do well? Play to your strengths. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to compensate for the guys that aren't going to be playing tonight. Do the best that you can do, and I think they really bought into that, and I'm sure the fans probably enjoyed it, because no one can say we didn't work hard out there, and if you have your attitude and effort every night, I think good things will happen, and we have that, and now I said we just got to build on that moving forward. But in turn, we all know in sports there's going to be ups and downs, and now that we've tasted what it is to be out there and work like that, we as coaches expect that every night. We got to be realistic. There's going to be some of those off nights, but I was sure pleased. And like I said, we ended up losing the game by 24 points, but I know that's not right. What people were thinking at the end of the game, because it was an entertaining game and both teams worked hard.
All right. Talk about some of your Eagles, Robin.
Yeah, let's see. We had scoring on the night. I thought shot the ball decent against their length. You know, they shot it at just about a 50% clip. We were at 35. We were 7 of 27 from the three-point line. They were 9 of 22 with some of their guys hitting shots. We got to the free throw line 11 times to their 7, which was nice that our guys weren't settling. They're tough on the boards. They out-rebounded us 45 to 27. And, you know, knowing coming in with their length, that's just so hard. Even if you box out, they can go right up and over you. We had 12 assists on the night. I think another thing that's gotten better here lately is our turnovers. We only turned the ball over 10 times on the night, so that's a nice thing to have. Leading rebounders on the night, we were led by Eli Hagelin, who had an all-around, probably one of his best games of the season. He took advantage of his mismatch. He had 7 rebounds. Caden Molden did a phenomenal job, probably. He might not agree, but I thought it was one of the best games he's played, just because of the defensive pressure that he put on the boy kid all night. He had 5 rebounds. Davis Patzer, Peyton Rademacher each had 4 rebounds, and then we had a few guys get 2. Steals, we had 5 steals on the night. Davis had 2, and Eli Hagelin had 2. Assists, Davis led us with assists with 4, and Caden Molden had 3, and we had a bunch of guys get 1. Scoring on the night, we were led by Eli Hagelin with 22. Eli was very efficient with his shooting. He was 10 of 16 from the floor for those 22 points. Then we had Peyton Rademacher ended up chipping in with 9, and he got most of his on the free throw line, which he struggled last year. Worked hard in practice improving that free throw shot. Ended up with 9. He was 5 of 7 from the free throw line. We had Davis Patzer with 8. Davis does a lot of things that for us that you know, he exerts a lot of energy out there controlling the tempo with the ball in his hands a lot and also playing great defense. Then we had Caden Molden with seven. Like I said earlier, had just a fantastic all-around game. Matt Arndt with six, and Brock Mirona with three. Also playing on the night were Baxter Kalloff and our first son, Shitaro. They did not score, but played nice minutes for us. Overall, say it again, very proud. I know we lost, but it's a good thing to build on, and we look forward to the opportunity when they come back to play us at Lac qui Parle later on this year.
All right, you're looking forward to that one. I already got it marked on my calendar, so...
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned a couple names. You know, like you mentioned, Eli Hagan played a great game. Your son, Peyton, man, he drove to the basket well. You got 9 points from him, you know, and Sitaro and Cullough came off the bench. And just a great effort, I thought.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, we know that those guys aren't going to be TJ. They're not his length. But you know what? Be the best that you can do and know your strengths. And I thought those guys... overall, that was the best they had played, and they weren't nervous. I think it takes a little bit. I know, just speaking to my son, it takes a while to get him comfortable out there, and I think Eli is the same way, where those guys feel like, you know what, we can compete at this level, and I thought you saw that on the night, and Baxter just brings a lot of energy every time he's out there when his number is called. I think Brock has stepped up and played nice minutes. We got some injuries, like I said, with Tygan. And Carson Bessonen's out with an ankle injury and a back injury. So those guys are just stepping in when their time is called. They're ready. And as a coach, you're really pleased, and you can see that.
All right. B-Squad, C-Squad on Tuesday. I think the C-Squad game was pretty interesting.
It was, and they ended up holding on to win by a couple, 3-4 points, and the B-Squad ended up losing by that 22-24-point range, too. They got Dawson's got some nice up-and-coming kids that are 9th and 10th graders, too. So they got some nice years of basketball ahead of them. They don't have a senior on their team right now.
Okay, yep. All right, what do you got coming up this week then, Robin?
We are off for the holidays. We have practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday, excuse me, of next week. And then we go over to Millbank, a team Lac qui Parle hasn't played in quite a number of years. We go over to Millbank on Thursday for a 4:30 afternoon varsity tip. I think C-Squad starts at 2. So we're going to go across the border and play quarters again. None of our kids have ever played a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's something I grew up playing, but, yep. You know, it's been so long since they've had that. So that'll be a different experience. They got a college-sized court over there. So our kids are going to look forward to that. It gives them a chance to play somebody new and play in a different venue. So we look forward to that on the 28th of December, traveling over to Millbank.
All right,
they randomly always have nice basketball teams over there.
Yeah, and they do. All right, Robin, thanks for your report on the boys team, and Merry Christmas. And, hey, we'll talk to you next Saturday then.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot. You guys, too, have a great holiday.
All right. Robin Rademacher with Lac qui Parle Valley Boys Basketball. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Karen and Cheryl at the Madison Beauty Salon, downtown Madison, Minnesota, wish you the merriest of Christmases. Christmas comes but once a year. It's a special time filled with cheer. Time for friends and family to come together joyfully. They hope your Christmas is filled with peace and happiness is never out of reach. Again, Merry Christmas. Best wishes for a Happy New Year from Karen and Cheryl at the Madison Beauty Salon, downtown Madison, Minnesota.
The happy Christmas comes once more. The heavenly guest is at the door. The blessed words, the shepherd's thrill, the joyous tidings, peace, goodwill. These words from the carol called Emmanuel are fitting for Larson Tiling's Christmas message to all within the sound of this station. Larson Tiling Incorporated wishes a very Merry Christmas to you all.
Back here at the radio station, from all the coaches at Lac qui Parle and at Dawson Boyd, wishing all of you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and Happy Holidays. So we'll finish out the show with some Christmas jokes today. What was the little snowman's favorite day in kindergarten? Of course, it was snow and tell. And what did the stamp say on the Christmas card? Stick with me and we'll go places. And what's every parent's favorite Christmas carol? Of course, Silent Night. And why was the snowman, he was in the grocery store, why was the snowman looking at the carrots? He was picking his nose. Well, thank you for listening every week, and tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Great music for Montevideo, Benson, and Morris on Q92 KLQP-FM.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad.